strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our next exit interview, the second exit interview of Big Brother Canada 9. I am here and I am going to be speaking with Josh, the second person evicted from the BB Can 9 house. Very excited to talk to Josh. We'll see what kind of insights he can give us about day three scandal and everything else that went down in that house, how he feels about everything. So stay tuned and we'll talk with Josh. Josh, hello. How's it going?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's been some exciting last couple days in the house. So, you know, we've been getting some good entertainment at the very least. But how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I feel great about the entire experience that I've had. Even if it wasn't as long as I had hoped for, I feel like I definitely showed that I wouldn't go out without a fight. I pulled a house flip out of my back pocket and almost pulled another one out.
Yes. You did. There was a lot of flip flopping happening. Both on Wednesday and yesterday. Do you know how close it came to really flipping there?
I do know at a few points throughout the day, it was 100% I was staying. And then the final, for whatever reason, Jed was the final one to decide that I couldn't be there. And through social media, I have already seen that the house is already freaking out that they should have voted Roe out.
Yeah.
Didn't make sense.
Yeah,
they see that now.
They may have made a little bit of a mistake there, but I guess. Yeah, I guess we'll have to see what happens. You seem to have a rough time in there. There was a lot of like isolation happening. Do you feel like you were treated unfairly by the other house guests?
I think the other house guests saw how strong I was, how capable I was on my own. I think that threatened them a little bit. And when there's someone who's so comfortable with being themselves and not falling into the herd mentality, that's just an obvious person out to kind of go after. And I don't take it personally. I think it's something they'll have to look back on when they watch the season, from what I understand. And I think just maybe think about some of the ways in which they speak about and act towards people.
I like you, Josh. That was a good answer.
Thank you very much.
Something that I think many people are still a little bit confused about, because we did not get this on the feeds and it's not really fully in the episodes. What was this day three scandal? What was this meltdown that everyone is talking about?
Well, it was it boiled down to like me having an emotional moment. Cause I think we saw on the show that I'm not actually the most emotional person. I'm not a huge emotional player, cause I can pretty logically think my way through things, but I had a very emotional moment, with regards to something that just like I had not prepared for at all. And I did not think would affect me as much as it did. And it had a lot to do with me just liking everybody so much and just like not wanting to see any of these stories be cut short.
Mm-hmm. And so this also sort of coincided with, you know, this whole Pretty Boys 2.0 theory, I think, right? And because it seemed like anytime you said something in the house, the other players would be like, he did this to himself on day three.
I wasn't allowed to have any opinions about anything because I mentioned something that was bound to happen had it not been stated out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody in the house just like wanted a martyr as well.
Who do you think is playing the best game in the house right now?
The best game in the house, after myself, because I pulled myself out and pivoted a lot harder than other people are going to have to, but I got voted out, so I can't say me. I would say, I'm not like hugely impressed with any game just yet because no one was really like letting their cards show. But I'm rooting for LaToya and Victoria as my top two.
Yeah. Is there somebody that you're the least impressed with? Who's playing the worst game?
I was suspicious of Ro day one, and I'm very suspicious of Beth.
Yeah. okay. So if they had kept you on Thursday and then you had gone on to win this HOH, who would you have targeted? Who would you put on the block?
Now I know that teams aren't done, I would have put up Austin and Brayden just to break up that duo.
There you go. Did you have any sort of like long-term plans? I know the sort of the pitch to stay was that you were talking to these six people, and you know, you were kind of promising them safety, and that you could be used as a pawn and stuff like that. Would you have stuck to that deal? How long do you think you would have stuck to it? Did you have any ideas of like who you were going to really align with and work with moving forward?
I was very honest about wanting to do that 7-person final 7 deal. I tried to show them that as much as possible with like, once I pitched it to them all, I legitimately did not talk to anybody else in that house so they could see that I was not doing anything sketchy. And then I would have probably pivoted to trying to work with LaToya because I do think she and I do actually think fairly similar. She just takes significantly longer in coming to her conclusions.
Mm-hmm. So in your goodbye messages, Beth told you about a 6-person alliance called the Sunsetters. Did this information surprise you?
You can see who I pulled in to be. So what I had thought was that Tina, Tara, LaToya, and Kiefer were one alliance. Mm-hmm. And I thought LaToya, Jed, and Ty were another alliance. So I saw that as an opportunity to kind of like bring those two potential alliances together. And that's why I was like putting a lot of weight into LaToya. The two wrenches in that plan were, it was Beth they were working with, not Tara, which I don't know how Tara managed not to get in on that and Beth got into it.
Yeah.
That like eludes me because Beth is working with everyone and is like the weirdest liar in this game. And then I also wasn't expecting Kiefer to be so all over the map with everyone. He was aligned with every single person in the house.
Yeah. How do you think they're going to do, you know, now that they've decided to not keep you, what do you think their prospects are in the game?
Well, from what I understand, their game is blowing up internally because from what I've heard, people think Kiefer told me about the Sunsetters, which is not factual. Kiefer told me about him working with Roe and Kyle. And I didn't tell anybody about that because I figured he might be using that as a test to see if I was trustworthy. But I think they're going to blow up from the inside because Beth is all over the map. And I think LaToya and Jed think they're running the game a little bit. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Josh. This is fun.
Awesome. Glad to have this chat.
Yeah. I hope you're doing well. Hope you, I'm glad to hear you're already like in on the, like, all right, what's happening? Like, I love it.
Yeah. Doing good. I had the best time.
Awesome. All right. That was Josh. Thank you guys so much for listening. It's been a fun week, an interesting week, a fun game so far. So very excited for what we have left to come. Of course, I'm going to be live every morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that's going on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. We'll also be live after every episode recapping what went down, as well as we have the roundtables every Tuesday night where we go over the stock watch. We rate each player individually based on how they're doing in the game and their price in the stock watch is adjusted accordingly. So keep up with all of that. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, if you want to hang out with me there. And see you all next time. Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 12th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I'm here today. Pooya, how you doing, Pooya? Whoa, Pooya, I can't hear you all of a sudden.
That's because I was muted, Taryn. That's why. Unlike some of these house guests who couldn't keep their thoughts to themselves and put themselves in this pickle, I was muted. But no, I'm very excited to talk about this. I think we're going to talk a lot about buyer's remorse and the buyer's dilemma and how all of that really amounts to big regret afterwards with regards to this house. I'm very keen on this update today.
Yes, yes. I think there may be some people having some buyer's remorse in the stock watch as well. We'll talk about it all. We are here to talk about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. We had some stuff from before the vote, although I think most of what happened before the vote took place off the feeds. And then we have a new HOH and a new plan and a new house, really, to talk about here. So we'll get into it all. It was day 13 in the house, and we started the day coming in from the day before, day 12, where all this flippiness was going on, that the vote had been decided. It was going to be Josh leaves, but there was still some stuff to clear up. So Tara and Ro end up comparing some notes. Tara says that she's been hearing some things, that there's a flip in the works, and that she's heard that he's coming after her. Tina ends up joining the conversation. Ro says, that's a lie. We were never coming after you. And they clear that up. And that he says, hey, well, I've been told that you are the one talking about flipping this vote. And she said, well, that's a lie. And so obviously they start getting into like, where did this come from? It's revealed that Kiefer has been spreading some misinformation. Kiefer finds out that the Kyle and Ro know about the flip, and they find out that that was from Victoria. And now Kiefer is upset with Victoria. And throughout all of this, Ro ends up telling Tina, like, hey, it's Jed, Ty, Beth, Toya. Like, those guys are trying to run this game. We got to go after them. They're coming after me. And then the feeds cut. And so from that point forward, it was like, maybe this vote will flip back if Tina decides she wants to tell people about this.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of ended the night before with Ro deciding whether or not to go talk or to sleep it over or sleep it off. And that was the whole panic, right? Is that Ro can literally make his own demise. And right as this happens, all I thought was, well, this is going to be the most exciting eviction episode we've had in years. So that's great. But I was very worried for Ro because, you know, Tina's in this position. We've talked about how well Tina's positioned herself, how good she is in the sense that she is both covered with her people, with the Sunsetters, but also I don't think many people see her as part of the Sunsetters and see her as a piece that they can work with, which is a great spot to be in. So Tina is kind of in the power position, can do whatever Tina wants. But then the problem is with the feeds going down at this point, there was a lot that we have missed because I think a lot of what happens from here to the eviction kind of dictates where we are now in the house. So, I mean, given that it's BBCan editing, I would assume we'll see like maybe 2 minutes of it on Monday, but that's about it. So then there's a lot of just gaps to fill.
Yeah. So while the feeds were down, this is what we've been able to surmise has happened while the feeds were down. There was some more that went down. Perhaps Tina did tell Toya about this, or Toya just decided she still wanted to make the vote flip happen. But I believe Toya did make another attempt at flipping the vote at the last minute, pulling people into the bathroom. Hey, it worked once, right? And so that did not go down particularly well. And apparently Kiefer and Victoria kind of got into it a little bit because he got exposed and he was blaming her for exposing things, I think. And he ends up admitting that he was part of the vote flip and that he was running information. They're kind of the two rats of the whole situation on either side. And so they're kind of like at each other for it. And so for the second week in a row, Kiefer is going to get into it with the eventual spoilers, HOH. So that's basically what was going down. Beth, you know, everyone was running around and it apparently became clear that Beth was a part of whatever was happening. And so Austin and Brayden have caught on to the fact with the help of Kyle and Ro that Beth is probably not 100% with them. And basically just the structure around the Sunsetters is crumbling.
Yes. And this is all because, let's be very clear, this is because they waffled around quite a bit this week. They didn't end up on a decision. They wishy-washied their way to Thursday. And then by Thursday, like you nailed this with one tweet of, now that they've made this mess, they have to just get rid of the mess and like start anew. They can't be dwelling in the mess. And what did they do? They dwelled in the mess. All the secrets came out. All the exposure happened. LaToya used a lot of her social capital to pull a last second switch last week. You can't be doing that 2 weeks in a row in the beginning. No one's going to trust you. No one's going to mess with you. So that implodes. This all implodes. Now that's kind of like bonded all the other side of being like, wow, this be messy. Like, let's not have this happen. And like, you know, that's solidified another side. So what I would like to say to the Sunsetters is a great alliance name. Okay. Well done. That was good. Thank you for being messy because you have single-handedly caused yourselves to have a harder road to the end than you would have had. And C, popcorn, because it's going to be fun. So I'm here for all of this, but I can definitely see that it was poor, poor gameplay on their part.
Yeah, there are a few things going on here. One is, you know, what I talked about where like they held so much power and they just didn't wield it. It was like very much the epitome of like they were holding a big stick and then they were just like we're good. You need to actually use the influence you have over the house, and it really does seem like, and this is something that I talked about especially for the first few days, what is this all intentional or did this fall in their laps? And I think it's pretty clear that some of them are fans of the game, fans of the show at least, and they've seen these secret alliances. They know they're effective, so they created one, but they didn't understand how they fundamentally work. And so they created one, and it kind of was working because it was some approximation of a secret majority alliance. And they ended up with some side alliances, which was exactly what they needed, but they weren't actively looking for them and they weren't actively maintaining them. And because of that, they just kind of, they didn't know what to do with it. There's some clashes within the group, caused some tension, some disagreements. They end up waffling all over the place. They're just completely stalled out on this Josh decision. And while they spend days trying to figure out, should we take out Josh or should we take out Ro? Everyone else has a chance to sort of like, wait, what's going on? Like, they're not keeping everyone else down in the same way that a majority should be. And then there's another thing. So that's like, okay, they're not advanced level players, right? They're not, right. They're not Cody Califuri. They're not, you know, they're not doing this kind of thing. Right. Okay. That's fine. There's another thing they're doing wrong. At least some of them, Toya in particular. I was on this morning update talking about Toya in particular, and one decision that she made when Kyle and Ro approached Toya about an alliance, and she was like, I'm not about this. I can't lie to them. And I said, mark this moment, because when Toya loses, this is what I'm going to come back to. There's a basic tenet in social strategy games. Never say no to an alliance.
Ever.
Never.
Ever. Yeah, it does not matter how much you are not going to commit to it. You say yes and you move on. Anything else, like, honesty isn't the best policy in these scenarios, especially for someone like LaToya, who I think her entire game foundation was initially set up on honesty is the best policy. But then when someone like LaToya is also actively trying to switch things back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, it's like, well, is your word even anything? Because like, you're kind of switching on it on a dime anyways. I don't love that. And I don't love the not committing to other stuff, because, you know, we talk about having a main alliance, having parachutes, having sides you can float to. I think the person who's best utilized this in the six of them is Tina, hands down. I think Tina's got a nice way of, like, literally, not only are her main alliance people willing to take bullets for her in this game, like two of them at least talked about it last night, but then there are other people still actively trying to pursue it. And I know that she kind of like burnt some bridges a little bit during this whole like ordeal, because it's very hard not to get blowback from this mistake they made. But LaToya's game, honestly, is very entertaining to watch. I love every bit of it. Every time she's on feeds is awesome. But also, wow. Do you like, if anything was proof to why this season's been fun, Taryn, it's exactly what you said with regards to the fact that these are not advanced players. These are not great players we've got here. But that's kind of great for watching people play. It's great for entertainment. But it's also hard to watch from the sidelines and not feel oof.
Yeah, Tina is the only one of the Sunsetters right now who is in the clear. She's like, she has escaped from the city under the cover of darkness, in a hood on a horse. Like, I was never there. And she's joined the attacking army and she's like, yeah, raise the city. So that's kind of where Tina stands right now. So Josh is evicted unanimously. There's no more teams, which, whew, that's great. And we'll talk about exactly why that's great. And we get that Victoria has won the new head of household competition. And that is pretty exciting, because not only is Victoria not with the Sunsetters and will target the Sunsetters, but she's also not really with the other group either. She's kind of just a wild card, and she plays like one and she speaks like one to the other players. And she kind of has this like Columbo thing going on, where like she just lets people entrap themselves by kind of like, well, what do you think I should do? I'm so confused. Ah, man, is there anybody else that I can should be considering? What am I missing? Just one more thing. What about this? And they're just burying themselves speaking to her. Yeah, just one more alliance, man. But it's still like, but she's also not like creating anything here, it seems. So there's a lot to go into here with Victoria.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. When the feats came on and Victoria was the one who won HOH, there was definitely a big part of me that was excited because I was like, this is more of an unknown. My initial gut reaction, I tweeted, which a bunch of people were like, well, it looks like this, you were wrong. And I'm like, that wasn't I didn't decree it, but I thought she was going to target Tara. That's kind of what was being said before. So I just assumed that was what was going to happen. But Victoria's definitely been playing this from the angle of, I've promised safety to too many people. I don't know what to do. Help me. I'm drowning. Help me. But she also low-key has an agenda that she would like to see happen this week. And I'm very excited because Victoria getting HOH to me makes it so that it's not going to be samey this week, next week. I think this kind of is, especially because I don't think she falls into the pockets of anybody necessarily, this kind of makes it so that the game has to restructure. And the combination of there not being teams, we'll talk about that in a second, there not being teams and Victoria not being a part of the main alliance really does help us in week three to see some more excitement.
Yes. So what we get here with the feeds after they come back from the competition or from the outage, I should say, is that Austin and Bray are talking about how Beth is fake. She was clearly involved with that flip. They'd rather work with Kyle and Roe. And we'll get more on that a bit later. Vic is going to talk with Tara and Tina. And she's going to let Tara know that, hey, they're trying to pin this whole flip on you, Tara. But don't worry, I'm not putting you up. I'm not putting anyone from Team Destiny up. But I do want to know that you guys are going to be with me on the vote. And they agree that they will vote however she wants. And so she lets them know that she is going to be targeting LaToya. And that she's trying to push a flip after everyone decided they didn't want a flip. I've been targeting her for a while. She's demeaning. She tries to run the game. I don't like her. And so LaToya is the target, and they're going to learn that Kiefer is going to be the pawn next to LaToya on the block.
Yeah. So let's analyze quickly. LaToya being her target, does this benefit Victoria? I think that this isn't the ideal person for her to leave. I think this is her way of being like, I want a harmonious house. You know, like, as much as I hated it, I think Cody, when he went after Kacer, was kind of like, Kacer's like trying to be like a rebel and like do all these things. And like, I want a peaceful house. And that's kind of the way he branded it. I do see this being similar of like, let me brand this as like the peace summit where we get LaToya. She's the reason these flips are kind of happening. She's the reason why there's a lot of this stuff. So I want to do that. But I think it's a disservice to her because I do genuinely think that LaToya wasn't going to really come after Victoria. LaToya has other plans, in my opinion. So I don't love this for her. However, if it ends up unraveling this alliance, then I like it for her because it opens more spots for her, new combinations, new dynamics that she could get into. Because I think for right now, she's kind of been in a bit of an outside situation. I think if you rank like the outsiders to everything, Josh was obviously dead last. And I think Victoria would have been like the bottom three or something as far as like well insulated in the house. It's gotten better for her in the last day with like Kyle and Roe and everything. But I do think that from that perspective, it's good. From an individual being, LaToya, maybe I don't love it for her specifically.
Yeah, she's going to pretend to some people at least, but it's not going to last very long, that Kiefer is her target. And I actually think that Kiefer is the better target for her, because first of all, Kiefer is the one that would most likely go after her specifically. Mm-hmm. Second, Kiefer is less threatening in the game than LaToya is. LaToya is a bigger threat. And that means that Kyle and Roe are going to be much more worried about LaToya than they are about Kiefer. They don't like Kiefer, but they don't care about Kiefer. Kiefer's not a threat. And so that means that if you're trying to keep both sides going at each other, you want to keep as many of the bigger threats in the game to go after each other as possible. Kiefer kind of occupies a similar spot to as Victoria, in the sense that like Victoria seems to be trying to kind of like lay low in the middle and not be threatening enough to take a shot at. So here's the thing. Like, even if Victoria is kind of more trustworthy, more on Kyle and Rose's side, by the time they get down to it, they're going to choose to keep Kiefer over Victoria because Kiefer's not enough of a threat, right? So getting Kiefer out would be ideal. Now, of course, the problem is how do you actually manage to do that? He needs to go up on the block next to another Sunsetter in order for it to happen. So you probably would need to put him up against someone like LaToya or something like that. But it would be difficult to make it happen. I think maybe the answer is put him up against Beth. And then maybe Beth can have the votes over Kiefer to stay, but it's tough. And so I think ultimately, even though LaToya maybe isn't the complete ideal target, I don't mind the nominations too much. She does need to put up two Sunsetters, and one of them does need to go. So it's less for me the actual target and the actual noms, and more so that I want to see her doing more to build relationships with the people that she's not targeting and get more out of them to make sure that at the end of this week, she is still in, you know, a decent position. And I don't think she's doing too terribly, but we'll talk about it as we go.
Yeah, I think that obviously what we would like is for her to utilize this HOH better than Austin utilized her own.
And she already is. I'll tell you that.
It's been a good night for her. She's already had hella conversations last night about game and otherwise with people. I want to quickly, before we move forward, note that I did say that LaToya is not the right target for Victoria. However, LaToya has not done herself any favors with Victoria. Like this, a lot of this falls back on LaToya herself for mishandling Victoria and any connections they could have had moving forward. So we'll dive into that more when we talk about them talking, but I just wanted to preface that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Toya is going to come in. She wants to talk to Vic. And this is why I love Toya, because this is not a great conversation, but Toya is not just going to sit back and let this happen. Toya is going to storm into the HOH room, and she is going to fight until there's nothing left to say. And so she comes in. She's like, "Hey, Vic. You approached me about working together, right? I hope that still holds true." And Vic is like, "Well, you know, you never really got back to me about that." And this is what I was talking about. I mean, Toya didn't say no to Vic, but she definitely didn't say yes. And Vic noticed. Toya's like, but we did have that good conversation right outside. And we said we were good. And we said we wouldn't put each other up. And Vic is like, well, here's the thing. Kiefer's the target. He blatantly lied about me. Kiefer's my target. The thing is, I can't put anyone up on my team. I promised. So I'm just not sure who else to put up, but I promise you're not the target, Toya. This is sounding really bad for Toya.
No, none of this should have been good for her. I think ultimately, Toya left Victoria on red. She did. She just didn't. She kind of like didn't reply, but it was ambiguous enough where she could come here and collect the check of like, "Hey, you're in." It's like, well, but it's too late now. Now it's like very coincidental that it's happening in this moment. I did love this. I love that we got this conversation like last night. I didn't know what to expect if we were going to get that. But the fact that it happened so quickly after hearing that LaToya is going to be her target, I loved it. As far as deflection goes, I did hear like a moment in Victoria's voice where she kind of broke down, but then quickly wasn't breaking down. Like she was crying, but then immediately sounded normal.
She does that occasionally.
Yeah, which I can't decide if it's just like that's genuine or that's her trying to and then taking it back, being unable to. I can't tell.
She is Columbo. She's hard to read. Toya's just like, "Well, when we talked, you know, you said you were going to put up Tara and Bray. Like, what happened to that?" And Victor's like, yeah, but I changed my mind. I changed my mind on Tara because she's the teams. Toya's like, "Well, I just feel like, you know, there are people on your team that have been talking shit about you, and I just don't want you to, you know, make a mistake here." And Vic is like, whoa, what? Can you tell if we're on the same team? Can't you tell me who those people are? And so I was like, well, I don't want to throw people under the bus. That's not really my game. And Vic's like, I think I just made too many promises to too many people. And she's like, has Bray ever said anything about me? So I was like, no. And I could have just lied right there. And that probably would have said, I think she automatically said no. And then realized, damn it, I could have lied there. But she's like, and I could have lied there, but that's just not my game. I don't want to throw somebody. I don't want to lie. I don't want to throw somebody under the bus, but I will name somebody if I have to. I just prefer not to, you know, there's just somebody on your team that would probably put you up. That wouldn't feel any type of way about putting you up. And Vic's like, is it a girl or a guy? She's like, it's this guy. Well, that narrows it down.
Yeah.
Ty or Kyle. Then I wonder who she's throwing under the bus.
Yeah, most likely not the one that she was supposed to be in a four person thing with Victoria in. Yeah, no, it's funny because I think that this kind of behavior hurts LaToya's game, not just from a, you know, you got to be deceptive in the game. You got to like play the game. You got to always say yes. But because when you're the type of person who says, I don't break my word. I don't want to back talk people. I don't want to talk smack. I don't want to go behind people's backs. That is fine. That is well allowed in the game. If you can play that game and it works for you, good. However, then it doesn't help that it makes it seem like, oh, so your style is you're willing to do all of those things in the last 30 minutes. Like you're willing to talk smack, take people aside and stab people in the back in the very end. I don't love that. That makes you a bit of a wild card. So that's not great. I do feel like Victor, I want to talk about quickly how earlier before this conversation, Tara was in the room with Victoria and Tara kind of like did the whole like, listen, I'm with you. You're never my target. I'm not putting you up, like kind of like in a beggy way. But then Victoria made it clear, like, hey, listen, there's no teams, but Team Destiny, you're safe. Like you're fine. I'm not putting any of you up. So that was kind of an easy way for Tara to get safety for the weekend and everyone on that side to be shortlisted for eviction. So telling all of this to LaToya doesn't help her because LaToya also very well knows that, yeah, there's not many of us and I don't love my odds. I don't love my odds sitting up there. So this whole conversation is fascinating for multiple reasons, this being one of them.
Yeah. So Toya finally does. She said, oh, okay. So here's the thing. And Vic's like, well, here, let me tell you, I probably wouldn't even be able to, even if you told me who it was, I probably wouldn't be able to put them up because of Team Destiny. And she's like, well, okay, it's Kyle. He said that he doesn't like your humor and look, Vic, you're a bright and bold and wonderful person. And I never want you to change, but like, he just doesn't get that. He just doesn't like you. And that's when Vic is kind of like, oh my God, well, that sucks. But then she's not emotional, like a second later. Toya says, Kyle is my target. I think if Kyle won, I'd be on the block and I think you'd be on the block sitting next to me. So here's the thing, like, you got to take your emotions out of it and make a game move, girl. Okay. Don't be emotional. This is game. And she leaves and Vic makes a face as soon as she leaves, like, oh, well, that was awkward. She's gotta go.
Listen, lesson 101, social 101. You do not tell someone who has emotions to stop having them. It's like the worst thing you could do is say, if someone's crying, don't cry. Like, no. So thank you. Thank you for your advice. Like, that's not great. So I think that that's the biggest problem with Toya's game. I think for her, especially with someone like Victoria, who is someone who feels their emotions more, plays through emotions more. She has no empathy. She has no understanding of people who function that way. And it's quick to be like, no, that's the wrong way to do it. Stop doing it, which is not ideal because that means you're not making inroads with them. You're telling them, hey, change yourself to be like me. Otherwise, we're not on the same page. So like no one can interact that way. Like that's not a good way to go about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's such blunt. It's taking a sledgehammer to the problem. It's a terrible way to tell us, hey, you're being emotional. Take emotions out of it. Make a game move. Do the move that's best for you. Come on. It's like the most basic form of of like what this is what Dr. Will did, right? Like Dr. Will would talk to you, and he would portray things in such a way that, like, well, obviously, you know, you're friends with this person, like you know, you get that, but he would make it, he'd be the devil on your shoulder, saying, but don't you want to be selfish?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you want to do the thing that you want to do? Why are you letting other people hold you back? But not actually saying, hey, do what's best for you. Don't be a dummy. Don't be emotional. You know, it's never going to work.
Yeah. When someone's feeling vulnerable or emotional, the last thing they want is for you to perceive that as weakness and tell them they're being weak. Cause then it's like, who are you to tell me how anything? How am I supposed to feel the way you're dictating me to feel? Like, emotions aren't a weakness. If anything, they're a big strength. If I do say so myself. So I do think that that is a big mistake from LaToya for not recognizing that this is something you should do. Playing like small talk, just talking to people about their day, talking about stuff outside the game are part of the game and they're important parts of the game. So I think this is the biggest thing missing from her game. And it shows with everything that's happened with Victoria. I think it shows where she's gone wrong. And this conversation was a great way to portray all of that. And I took a screen cap of Victoria after LaToya left, and she's got like this smirk on her face, and it's phenomenal. I do not know what LaToya on the block is going to be like, because this is her not even on the block. When she's on the block, I think it's going to get turned to 12. She's going to feel like all of the fear of being on the block. So I'm curious to see how that's going to play out.
Yeah. Kyle, Ro, Tara, and Tina are going to check in about how glad they are that they talked it out earlier today and they didn't get misled by that false information. And now they're on the same page. And it's a little bit awkward because I think that Kyle and Ro, they fully buy into this, right? They fully buy the story that Tina is selling, because here's basically what Tina and Tara are portraying, right? It's true on Tara's end. Tara was misled by false information that Kyle and Ro were going to come after her. She wasn't sure about that. And so she went along with the flip for a little bit and she didn't tell them. But then she had an epiphany and she realized she should talk to Ro. Ro cleared it up and she believes Ro and Kyle now. And she thinks that the other people were trying to trick her. That's the true story for Tara. For Tina, that's the cover story, because obviously Tina was in on everything. So Tina is kind of letting Tara do the talking to make it seem like they were both in that place. And so that's how Kyle and Ro are looking at both Tara and Tina, in the sense that, like, oh, they're a little dumb. They kind of bought this obvious lie and then they realized that they shouldn't. And they're with us, but they're not the most reliable allies because they were led astray so easily. And so that's what Tina is kind of trying to, like, yeah, that's me. And to be fair, Tina did buy into it at first, but she had a little bit more reason to, because she had very solid allies telling her, whereas Tara just had, who's Kiefer to Tara? But that's kind of where they see this group right now. And so, Tina and Tara are like, Toya who? What? We can't believe what she did. Yeah. And they're talking to Kyle and Ro, and they're talking to Austin and Bray, and they're talking to Vic, and all around, like I said, Tina is playing the, like, man, those guys, huh? Right? Can't believe what they're doing. Man, they really deserve what's coming to them. Good thing I'm on the right side of things and always have been.
I love this for Tina specifically, because I think that if people are perceiving Tina to not have a lot of control in the game, a lot of like capabilities in the game, that's good for her right now. It keeps her safe. I think it keeps people trying to work with her, which is great. But she's also someone who we've clearly seen be able to execute plans and control the social to get herself where she needs to be. So I love this for Tina, and I think it's only going to help her moving forward. Someone like Tara, however, I feel like I haven't seen anything else from her yet, but we'll see. Ultimately, I think Tina's played it well and found herself a good landing spot despite everything that happened in this last like 24, 48 hours. Should be spelling doom for everyone in this group of six.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, I think many people were able to recognize that Tina is probably the strongest player within the Sunsetters in terms of just raw ability. Her position was not necessarily the best in the world, but it was still very good. And as the Sunsetters crumble, we are seeing that she is the only one who has been capable of avoiding the rubble. And that is pretty impressive. That said, it's still a huge hit to Tina's game, everything that has happened. And she may find herself, you know, in with Kyle and Roe. That's great. But as the Sunsetters crumble, she's still going to need to do a lot of work to stay afloat here, not only to avoid being exposed, but also, you know, she doesn't have a super solid position right now. And if she loses Toya, that's one of her most valuable pieces. And having to give up one of those pieces so early would not be great, especially leaving in Ty and Jed, who she just doesn't have as much of a connection with. That puts her in a much rougher spot than before. Now, we have seen that, again, she is probably the person most capable of getting out of a tricky spot. But position-wise, she definitely has fallen.
Yeah, I think my confidence in her is that despite everything that's happening right now, if there's anyone that can rise from the ashes, it's Tina. Like, I think she's given me enough in the last couple of weeks that I feel confident that she will be able to find new footing in the game. Obviously, results of competitions pending, because like those can cause her more problems because she was fine until this HOH kind of thing. So I do think that she's capable of getting that done moving forward.
Yeah, I think best case for Tina is like LaToya wins the veto and then really anybody, like even Beth, but like ideally Jed or Ty, but we'll talk about that. Like if she could somehow get Jed or Ty on the block and one of them to go home this week, that would be really good for Tina. But that seems like it's not going to be particularly likely because Vic talks to Jed and Ty, and she promises them, she swears to them on her dead foster mother's life, her boyfriend's life, all of the lives of every human being on the planet Earth, that she will not put them on the block this week. They will not be a replacement nominee. She does not intend to go against them by putting up LaToya, but she feels like that's what she has to do. She's going to put up Toya and Kiefer, and Kiefer is her target, so she's lying to them there. And they are basically giving her a very similar pitch to the one that Toya did, a little bit more subtly, but not that much more subtly. And she's saying, well, look, there's a bunch of people over here and I don't want to piss them off. And I've made too many promises and so on and so forth. And this conversation does not really go very well for Ty and Jed, other than the fact that they seem to be is safe here with Vic. But again, I don't know how true that is on Vic's end. I still can't fully tell if Vic is like full on playing everyone or she just has, and this is what I think it is. I think she just has a very specific plan. Toya is the person she wants out. Kiefer is the perfect pawn. I don't think she knows what to do if the veto is used and she doesn't know where to go from there. I think she genuinely doesn't want to piss off the guys. And I think that a lot of what she's saying is true, but I think she's also playing up the sort of like, what do I do? So I think it's just a little bit in the middle there. And so I think that she's being honest with them right now, but I don't think that that doesn't mean that she wouldn't consider putting them on the block as a replacement.
I think that, well, we've seen clearly from some of her diary rooms that Victoria is someone who is understanding of, oh, I need to play up my weaknesses. You know, I need to make sure I don't want them to see me this type of way, that type of way. Last week, she was like, I'm fine. I don't need to win this HOH, like drops it. I think that this her playing up the, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, I promised too many people safety. I'm such a doofus. I think it's by design.
Yes.
And I think it's a way for her to get away with making a move she wants to make while also seeming like the helpless person who needs everyone to carry her. I think that's kind of what she's trying to do. And I think she's doing it somewhat successfully. I do think, so right now, if we take a tally of who she's promised safety, all of Team Destiny, you are safe, makes a individual promise to Jed and Ty. Ty's already in that group, so he's double safe, but then Jed just gets safety here. I 100% think that she is not prepared to see a world where that veto gets used. And I don't know how that world's going to look like, because she's promised too many people safety at this point. Would someone like Brayden end up taking the block in that position to like be the pawn if one of them gets the veto? It's possible, but also, you know, it has to be stressed that all the Sunsetters need is one of them not to be on the block. Or like one of the nominations not to be them. And I think they still control this, right? If I have the numbers correctly, they will have
the
votes.
That's so after the conversation with Vic, Ty and Jed are going to go into the pantry and talk it through. And Ty's like, I need this on. They get some Cheerios and they walk it through. Okay. So if LaToya and Kiefer are on the block together, then we have 4 out of the 9 votes. We do not have the votes to control it. However, if we get one of LaToya or Kiefer off the block and we get somebody up that's not in the Sunsetters, then we will have 5 of 9 votes and we can make sure the Sunsetters are good. That's the way to win the day here. So at this point, they're feeling like Tara is their best bet. If they can take Toya off the block and get Vic to nominate Tara, then boom. They can vote Tara out. They snake Vic, but whatever. Later, it's going to turn to Kyle based on a conversation with Beth, but we'll get there. But that's the plan. And that is the best plan, because, again, I don't know who Vic would put up in place of Toya or Kiefer. I do think that the only reason she's putting Kiefer on the block is because of what went down that day with the flip stuff and him lying. And if that hadn't happened, she might have put up Tara as the pawn. She might have put up somebody that wouldn't have ended up working as a pawn. And it could have been disastrous in that case. And so if the veto is won and or used by one of the by or on one of the nominees, I don't know that she knows who to put up as the replacement to ensure that that Toya would go, because she probably doesn't think that she needs to put up one of the guys. She probably doesn't think she needs to put up Beth. She probably thinks she can get away with throwing somebody up as a pawn and thinking she can get away with it because she doesn't know that Tina is a vote for the Sunsetters. Probably. Not a guarantee, but probably, right? And so if she thinks she has... I have Tina, I have Tara, I have Kyle Rowe, Austin Bray. That's 6 votes. I can afford to let one of them go on the block, and I'll still have 5 votes locked in on Toya. That would be one way that the Sunsetters can get out of this. There's another way as well, where if Toya is the one that gets taken off the block, now Kiefer's on the block. Now, I do think that she would want Kiefer gone as the backup, but... Maybe she does go somewhere else. You know, like that's it's not a guarantee, because again, Vic, I don't think Vic is looking at this like, okay, so there's a side here and there's a side here and I'm trying to ride the middle and I'm trying to like do whatever. I think she's looking at this like, and Toya taking out Julie, always being weird to me. Gotta get her out of here. And so with that in mind, it really could go anywhere if the veto is won.
Yeah, I think the veto is going to dictate a lot potentially here. And ultimately, I do see Victoria as someone who I know she's given so many people safety, but I think with the same breath, she could just be like, listen, I said you're safe. If I'm putting you on the block, it's just as a pawn. So I don't think anyone that's been given the safeties, I wouldn't necessarily write them off as like they're definitely not going to touch the block. Anything is still possible here.
Yeah, Vic is very open about like she'll lie. She'll promise somebody something and then go back on it. She straight up did that to Toya multiple times. She said she's been going after Toya for a while And then she approached Toya about a Final Four, promised that she wouldn't nominate Toya. And now she won HOH and she's like, Toya, you're going up. And she doesn't care about promises. And here's why I'm so glad the teams are gone, because if the teams were still in place, she would still be nominating Toya and Kiefer. Yes. But the veto situation would be a very forced situation. She would either have to nominate Jed, or she would have to nominate Ro or Brayden, which means either she nominates Jed and Toya or Kiefer go, or she nominates Brayden or Ro and one of them go. And if Jed won the veto, which here's what would happen if they were teams, they'd be like, pick Jed, pick Jed, pick Jed, throw the veto to Jed. Jed wins the veto. He takes Toya off the block, forces Ro or Bray to go up. And now they have the votes to take out Ro or Bray because the teams are forcing this kind of situation. That's super annoying to me. I'm so glad that Victoria has the option to do what she wants. Now, if she, on of her own volition, makes the mistake of putting up Kyle or Tara or Brayden, then she deserves to have the vote flipped on her, right? And like, this is what like, they all deserve to have the vote flipped on them because they let it happen. If she doesn't, then she'll actually have the option to do something else, like put up Beth or something else that will help solidify the vote. So I'm just very glad that options are open and that there's not like a half of the house safe, and that we've actually got some things to talk about here.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of options. I really am. And I do think that, you know, something, you know, a lot of us compared this to Survivor with the teams. The one benefit with Survivor was like, you could vote for anybody. Whereas here, you can, after the first week, it's like, all right, you're back to only two people on the block. You've made alliances with within six people. There's only really three options. That would have given the game to be very slow this week, very transactional, very, okay, if this person wins the veto, it's done, go home. This leaves it open. This leaves there to be options. A lot more conversation is going to happen. Like, we're literally 12 hours into this HOH reign, maybe 13 hours. And I feel like we've already unpacked so much and there's so much more to go. So I think teams leaving was probably the best twist in BB Can history thus far. So,
all right. So Kyle and Ro are going to talk in the ball pit about how dumb people are and that they want all of those four gone. After Toya leaves, they want the rest of the Ro's like, we're still going to have to win the next four HOHs because they need Ty, Jed, Beth and Kiefer gone. They talk about the order in which they would like to do it. They kind of felt like they should leave Ty, you know, for like third, maybe Kiefer last. And they're like, well, should we do Beth or Ty first? Can we leave both Beth and Ty in the game? Maybe we should do Ty before Jed. That's what that conversation was about. Jed and Ty talk through with the Cheerios. Ty comes to the conclusion that he's like, well, here's the problem. Vic is... She sees one side. She sees these four Kyle, Ro, Austin and Brayden. And then she just sees everyone else is just like kind of out there. Random Kiefer's out there randomly. You got Tina and Tara random. You got, you know, me, you and Toya as a trio. And so they don't know that there's another side. She doesn't see that there's actually people that she's going to be pissing off by doing this move. So maybe we expose the alliance to her and we say, hey, if you do this, then you're actually pissing off a larger amount of people by doing this. And maybe that will, you know, get her to, maybe we can get her to put one from each side up on the block. And Jed's kind of like, eh, would that work? I don't know. I guess maybe it's the only way. That's kind of, you know, they're kind of thinking, they're mulling that over. While they're mulling that over, Kiefer's going to talk to Victoria and she lets him know that he's going on the block, but don't worry, the person sitting next to you is going to be the target. But don't say anything to anybody. Just continue to mope around because I don't want anybody to know. So he goes and he tells Toya that whoever's sitting next to him is the target. Jed and Ty walk in and they're like, okay, so here's a question for you. What if We exposed the alliance to Vic. And here's why. And he says, so yeah, the problem is that she doesn't see how many people she's pissing off with this move. And Kiefer's like, yeah, we just did too good a job of keeping our alliance a secret. So now they're not scared of us. And so they're like, okay, so here's what we do. You know, let's talk this over. Let's get Beth and Tina involved. And then they're like, wait a minute. And Ty's like, wait a minute. Do we even have Beth and Tina anymore at this point? And Toya's like, I don't think Beth will go for this. I think if we do this, Beth will choose the other side. I don't think she'll be with us. And they're like, oh, you know what? That's possible. Ty's like, I mean, right now we look like the losing side. So yeah, they could bail on us.
This is literally the definition of fumbling at the 10-yard line to me. This alliance had everything. They had all the control and they've lost it piece by piece. The other side has like done a semi-decent job of staying the same or excelling a little bit while they've just done worse. Like this idea from Ty is ridiculous of, hey, let's go give them the blueprint of where all of the places they can come inside to the store and rob us from. That'll be great. That's good. Give them all the information.
Yeah. Hey, Vic. We have the best security system ever. I know you. Here's the problem. She doesn't realize that we have the best security system ever. She doesn't know the intricacies of how it works and how good it is. Let's give her the plans. Let's give her all the details of how it works. Then she'll know how good it is and she'll never even want to bother.
Yeah, it's like, hey, listen, state-of-the-art facility. No one can enter. The passcode is 3241. Okay, cool. All right, cool. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? And like, we haven't even talked about it, but like Kiefer was a human disaster last night. Kiefer literally started the night when the feeds came on being like, I messed up. It's all my fault. You know, Tina, I don't want you to go up. If you go up, I want to go home immediately. Like, I feel so guilty. And then he was like, I think my only move is to go and tell Victoria to put me up. Then she might not put me up. That's my only way. That was all wild. And then he was given one piece of information from Victoria. Hey, be shush. Don't tell anyone that you're the pawn. I'm telling everyone you're the target. Leave it at that. Not only does he not abide by that, he literally tells LaToya first. Literally tells her first that this is what's going on. Kiefer is his own biggest enemy. Earlier in the day before the feeds had gotten cut, Kiefer was talking to Ty about, hey, I want to go into this game a long ways. And then 6 hours later on feeds tells Tina, I'm ready to go home. Like, well, what is going on with you, man? Like, I feel bad because after he won the veto, he was a different man. He had the confidence. He was ready. He's like, okay, I'm feeling myself. It took one HOH comp later to be exactly where he was a week ago when I was watching the feeds.
He feels like he's the one that screwed this up, you know, getting into it with Victoria. And he feels, he was sort of like, really upset before earlier on the feeds, crying to himself, like I screwed this up. Like, it's okay. Think the beach. And he feels like I deserve to be on the block, guys. Like, I screwed this up. I don't want to screw this up for you guys. It's okay if I go home. So, you know, annoying for game purposes, but, you know, I think commendable to some degree on a personal level. He's loyal to his people. Yes. And he wants to, you know, he feels bad that he kind of screwed it up. But it's not great. It's not great. This whole plan. Now, let's be fair to them. They don't go through with this plan. And I'll be fair. I'll be most fair to Jed because Jed is the one that kept pointing out the bad parts about this plan. Like, well, here's the thing. If we tell them who the alliance is, then she'll know for sure who to put up of our group to make sure that one of us goes home if that's the goal. Right. So they do not end up doing this. I don't think they are going to do this, but it was very funny watching them kind of like flounder around. Like, what do we don't have an easy majority anymore. What are we going to do? And so they also realize Kiefer's like, well, so she told me that I was the pawn. And then whoever's next to me is the target. And Ty's like, you know what? That makes everything she's saying makes a lot of sense if Toya is the target. And they're like, okay. But even still, I think one of their biggest problems as well is that they consistently underestimate their opponents. Ty realizes that Vic was lying to them about who her target was and doesn't make the next jump to say, okay, maybe Vic is with Kyle Rowe, Austin, and Brayden. Maybe that's why she's lying. Maybe that's why she's putting up two of the people from the other side. And to be clear, she's not really, or at least isn't yet, but you should be assuming that she is. If you think that she was lying to you about one thing, you can't take everything else she was saying as truth. When she says, well, I'm scared of those four coming after me, you can't be like, oh, that's true. Therefore, if we convince her that she should be scared of six people coming after her, then we'll win. You have to be like, well, that was probably just an excuse to go along with the lie that she's targeting Kiefer. Just chill on these plans. But again, they don't end up going through with it, but definitely... You know, there has not been a lot of impressive thought processes going on with many of these people in the Sunsetters.
Yes, I think that I want to say this because Amon put it out there yesterday. The combination of Kyle, Rowe, Austin, and Brayden, and then maybe with Victoria, we'll see if Victoria is the fifth there. We have decreed that they're going to be called the Moonlighters no matter what happens for now. So they're the Moonlighters for now is what we're going to call them.
Oh, boy.
That's the new name.
They have something to say about that.
All right, well, go ahead. I they're not going to be able to one-up Amon, I don't think, but we'll see.
We'll get there very, very soon. You know what? Let's just bring it up. Kyle, Austin, Rowe, and Bray have deemed themselves carb.
Why is it carb, Taryn?
Kyle, Austin, Rowe, and Bray. Carb with a K.
Can I just say Bark was right there? And you could have some kind of catchy tagline like we will bark, but we will bite, like something like that was there. Carb with a K is so bad. They could have been crab with a K. I mean, that might have not been the ideal one. I mean, listen, easy choices. They went in with the simple one. It'll work. It'll pop. It's four letters. It's easy to remember. But like, it's no Moonlighters. Amon's mind works different. It's no Moonlighters, and I stand by that.
They seemed to thank Josh. They're like, thanks, Josh. Like, for the name, almost. Like, he called them Carb. This may be a Josh creation. Maybe I'll ask him if he did this.
Yeah. Were you behind Carb? Were you the mind behind Carb? Let us
know. Yeah. How do you feel about carbs? Anyway, let's get back to it.
All right.
So Beth joins the conversation with the Sunsetters and she asks them what she should say to Vic because Vic wants to talk to her. And they just keep giving her conflicting information. Like Ty's like, don't say that Kiefer should go on the block because he's the pawn. And we want a different pawn. And Toya's not even listening to that. And she's like, tell her that I'm a really loyal person and that the reason I don't talk to her is because I just hang out on the couch and stuff. And it's just like, Toya, she can't say the same things you were saying about you to Vic. It won't play well.
Not even a little bit.
It's not even according to the plan. You're the target. We're trying to get Kiefer off the block. That goes down. Tara and Tina are going to talk a little bit. They say, look, it sucks, but Toya shouldn't have been doing all that stuff yesterday. She did this to herself. And Tara is really glad they didn't believe the lie about Roe and Kyle. And they agree that if Tina says, so if you won the veto, Tara's like, I wouldn't use it. Leave it the same. And Tina's like, yeah, exactly. It's exactly what I was going to say. Tina feels like she's definitely pivoted well, but she has also definitely been cowed. She is like, she's not even contradicting Tara right now. She's not even trying to influence Tara in the direction that she necessarily wants her to go. She's letting Tara lead the charge, and she's just like, let me just make sure I've landed safely and don't get linked up with these people.
I think that Tina is going to spend a lot of this week, now that she's been allegedly given safety and like guaranteed not to be on the block, which I think Tina should be fine. I think Tina's going to spend this week just like making sure all her ducks are in a row for the following week. I think the worst place for Tina to end up is with the veto in her hand, because then she's going to have to make a big decision that'll like, you know, put her in this box or that box. And I think Tina wants to sit outside the box and like be the one packing the boxes. So I think that Tina's going to use this very well, being level-headed, letting other people make the noises this week, and just being in the background is, I think, going to be nothing but beneficial to her this week.
Yeah. So Beth goes in to talk with Vic, and Ro and Kyle are there, and she kind of gets interrogated by them. Kyle in particular. Kyle, you can tell that he has experience in these kinds of games. He knows how to interrogate people and get them tripped up on lies. And so she's trying to explain what happened with the flip, and she was like, oh, well, what, I was with Austin and Bray, and I was talking to Austin. We thought that it might be a tie vote, but that Austin, I was making sure that Austin would break the tie in your favor, bro. And so I went into that vote thinking it was going to be a tie, and I was voting for you to stay. I was always voting for you to stay. And Kyle's like, well, who did you think were those five votes? She's like, well, you know, me, you know, Vic, Austin, and Bray. Austin doesn't vote, right? Well, you know, Tina and Tara. Well, that, yeah, well, that, well, that doesn't make sense, because Tina and Tara are, you know, a pair, so obviously that. Well, so here's the thing. It was Vic. I thought you were actually going to flip and you were going to vote Ro out. So that's what the five were. And Kyle is later going to be like, we caught her in the most obvious lie. Like, this was terrible. At this point, she's kind of like, so yeah. And Vic is like, so you're really more with Austin and Bray than with Jed and Ty? She's like, yeah, 100%. I think they're just trying to play me. And Vic's like, that's very surprising. and Beth is just like, yeah, can I just have a sec with Vic here to talk alone? And so Kyle and Ro leave, but this is going very poorly for Beth, she's still trying to hold her position where it was, but everybody already knows that she's with Ty and Jed.
I mean, why wouldn't they? They have every reason to buy that and to see it that way. And Beth doesn't seem like someone who has the facilities to cast that off and be like, no, I'm just messing about. Like, I don't think anyone buys that at all. And also, you know, Kyle at this point, proof that playing Big Brother in the mountains or whatever he did, that's good. That's good exercise for stuff like this. So I thought he did pretty decently here. I mean, both him and Ro have had such a good pivot in the last couple of days, I think, to position themselves where they are. And that's nice. But to go back to Beth again, this is what happens, Beth, when you're playing spin the bottle and you've not really prepared yourself for moments like this where the questioning is going to happen and you're going to have to, you know, play it up. I think the minute she was in a link up with any of these guys, she's got to immediately think of what's my escape route in case someone says something. And it was very clear that she was not prepared to deal with this, especially in a group setting being questioned. I think one-on-one might have been better for her. Well, there's four people there. Like, it's very hard for you to like navigate. So,
yeah, I mean, all of this stuff going on with the Sunsetters has really allowed Kyle and Ro, who were so behind, to catch up. And they're almost completely caught up at this point. We'll see how this week goes. So Vic talks to Beth. Beth says, here's the thing, girl. I like what you're doing, but you got to make sure you keep your eyes open with these guys. And she's like, what do you mean? Like, who? It's like, Kyle. I mean, he talks about you like in a mean way, like just like how he was just talking about Toya. Like, oh, I don't like her. He talks about you like that. And Vic's like, oh my God, should I put him up? And Beth is like, well, you know, you do you. I mean, I think your noms are good. Like, and she's like, you think they're good? I want to do Kiefer and Toya. She's like, and your target is who? And she's like, Kiefer. I want Kiefer to go. She's like, well, that makes sense. But like, what if Kiefer won the veto? I'm like, well, then I would want Toya to go. Don't tell anyone. I haven't told anyone. She's like, and Beth is like, no, I agree with that. Like, if we get Toya out, we can get closer to the boys. Like, I'm loving this, Vic. Like, I love this for you. Let's do these noms. Like, you do you. But I do want you just keep your eyes open about Kyle. That's all I'm saying. And she's like, well, should I change my noms? Should I nominate Kyle? She's like, no. You should do what you want. But maybe, you know, so, well, maybe, you know what? Here's what I'll do. If the veto is used, then Kyle will be my replacement. Beth is like, I mean, if that's what you want to do, sure. It really feels like Vic is trying to just get Beth to trap herself again. But at the same time, there, I think, is a genuine concern that Kyle is trash talking her and that maybe she should go against Kyle. Because, again, she's not looking at it from the same perspective as Kyle and Roe, where it's like it's one side versus the other. She's looking at it from the perspective of she thinks that LaToya is the best target right now. She feels like LaToya is the person that doesn't like her. But if they can really convince her that Kyle doesn't like her and that Kyle is just kind of like going along with things right now, I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility that she puts Kyle up. But it also just feels like she's playing Beth. She's definitely playing Beth a little bit in this conversation. But I can tell you that just this morning, she was talking to Tara and Tina, and she was like, well, I've heard that Kyle's been talking a lot of shit about me. Now, of course, Tara was like, I don't believe that. And she's like, right, yeah, I'm choosing not to believe it. But it seemed like she had just made that choice and that she had been thinking about it and that she may continue to think about it. So who knows?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting because I think Beth fully like feels very good about this conversation. It's like, I nailed it. Look at me go. Oh, yeah. She's like gassing herself up. It's phenomenal. I do think that Kyle, we know, is clearly not a Beth fan. So if there's like a sub battle that happens and it's Kyle versus Beth, I'm very intrigued to see how that plays out. But I do think that Victoria, like, I don't think there's any conclusions drawn from this, but I do think that Kyle would have been on her shortlist regardless of this conversation. So maybe this kind of planted a little bit of a concern, but without any confirmation for her to go off of. And I think that if Kyle gets a whiff of this, he's going to be able to talk to her and make her feel comfort in that he hasn't done that. So I think that's gonna help. And I think Kyle, not only because I don't think he has done this, but also because of the fact that him and Ro were literally talking about how, you know, in front of Victoria, how like, oh, everyone said we're after the girls. We're not after the girls. Like, that's not a thing we did. So I think they have more legs to stand on. I'd be like, listen, they're just doing more misinformation about us. Like, this isn't me. Kyle has that going for him where he can be like, why is everyone picking on me? Why is everyone making me to be the, I'm not saying these things. I'm not the mean guy. I only don't like Beth, which I think that's then when he flips the script and goes full in on Beth.
Mm-hmm. Now, I am getting some questions in the chat. Are they making this up about Kyle? I believe they're not, actually. I do believe that prior to everything going down, Vic is one of the people that Kyle talked about targeting and not liking very much. And that's why, like, when he approached people about making a counter alliance, he approached Tina, Tara, Toya. He did not approach Vic, never really talked about approaching Vic as much. And, you know, even when they talked about aligning with like Austin and Bray, Vic was sort of always in the background of that. Now, you know, part of this, I'm sure, is, you know, Kyle trying to mislead people in terms of like where he might target. I don't know if he ever really would have targeted Vic. I don't think he would have. But I'm sure there's like a little bit of Kyle that was just never really clicked with Vic. She was never a go-to person for him to align with. And I do think that the only reason she's even remotely included in anything right now is because she's HOH. There's a reason why it's Carb and not, you know, Carb.
Carby V. Yeah, it's not. I think that makes sense. I think that Victoria, again, is someone who was kind of in the bottom on both sides, like would have been like lower on everyone's totem pole. So her winning is interesting for that reason. I had not realized that with Kyle, but I do agree with you that I don't think that she was on top of his list by any means for targeting, but also not top of his list for aligning with either. I think his four that he has right now, like those are mainly his people, and Victoria is just like, they happened to get her in a good situation because of all the messiness from the Sunsetters.
Yeah. And, you know, Kyle was very pleased with Vic last night or the night before, when she is the one that ratted LaToya out to him. Like, he feels much better about Vic now. Vic is no, like, while this may have been true in the past, it's one of those situations where it's like, well, a week and a half ago, this person talked crap about you. So, right.
Like,
it's like, sure. But now they have many more targets. But it would be something, if I was Vic, that I'd be concerned about long term. Like, if she wanted to lock in with, like, Kyle, Austin, Braden, and Roe, I don't think she has a good position in that crew. So, you know, that's something to consider for sure. So that's happening there. Kyle, Austin, Roe, and Bray, they've got Carb. And this is, again, like, I'm going to need Vic to think a little bit more long term. I want her to be getting in with... like getting in tighter with Tina and Tara. I wanted to see her getting in tighter with Carb. You know, we got to turn it into Carby V. You know, so we gotta get her involved in some things. I want her to lock in with the guys after, you know, once it's locked in, the toy is leaving. I want her to get in with the guys and be like, all right, you know, I'm sorry that it had to be done, but I am with you 100,000% now. So that's what I want to see her do. And you know, it's fun to watch her kind of mess with people. And it's fun to watch somebody who has a very clear idea of who they're going to nominate and they're not letting other people manipulate them. But I am also going to need some long-term stuff from her, if I'm going to call this a successful HOH. So, that's what I'm going to be looking for.
Yeah, no, that's very fair. I do think that my worry with the target being LaToya is that LaToya, like we've mentioned at the start, she's not going to take this sitting down. She's going to fight tooth and nail at every turn if she's on that block come till Thursday to not be the one out. And I think that could cause Victoria's mind to be very occupied with that and not give her the opportunity to use this HOH more to solidify those bonds for the longevity that we clearly want her to have and we clearly want her to work towards. So that is the one big drawback of having someone like LaToya on the block, because if you have someone like Kiefer, he'll sit there and be like, I'm a sinking ship. It's over for me. Like, don't worry about me. Move along, everyone. And like, he kind of gives off that energy, whereas LaToya is going to be literally the antithesis of that. So it's going to make it so that she's going to have to use a lot of her mental energy to deal with the fact that she's the one who put LaToya on the block. So that is my one worry for her. And I do think that if they did make it Carby V, I think that the problem currently is that Kyle, Roe, Austin, Braden, having Victoria there, because obviously we've talked about this before where like Dave Vaughn was in a position to be in the middle of two showmances, right? They're not showmen. These are two pairs. There's a good spot to be in. If they're committed to you as their fifth, for sure. I think if she ends up in the fifth right now, that's a good spot for right now. But the minute she can be collateral damage, they'll let her go immediately. And that could be as soon as next week if the wrong person gets HOH. So I think that that's the problem, is that they're not really, if she's in there, she's not in there like proper. She's in there for a means to an end, for like anywhere she drops you off, not necessarily final five.
Yeah. And I think Kyle and Roe would sooner go to Tina and Tara than Vic. And you know, especially knowing what we know about Tina being a capable player, like if she wanted to, she probably could, you know, the thing about Austin and Braden is that they're very passive. And so I could easily see Tina and Tara taking position over Austin and Braden, who are very recent to this team. And you know, this could turn into, TTKR? I don't know.
Yeah, there's not Kurt?
Kurt? Yeah, Kurt. It's going to turn into Kurt. So there's a couple other small things. Beth comes in and tries to hang out with Carb while they're hanging out in the orgy room. It's written all over Austin's face that she can't stand Beth anymore. You were my bestie 2 days ago. now you don't exist to me. And Beth leaves that room. She's like, damn it. I knew this was going to happen. I've lost Austin. And it's like really, Austin, you couldn't put on a happy face for Beth. You couldn't put on like a little bit of like, hey, we're still together. Like, you need to play Kate.
This is the big drawback for Austin and Brayden, both of them not having to dance for their supper this week. I think Victoria winning gives them more sense of security, which makes them more complacent in how they've been playing the game. And obviously, it's very nice to end up having carb be a thing. That's an achievement. But I don't think there's realization that, hey, that's still a third of the house. That's only 4 out of 12 people. There's still 8 other people that I need to make inroads with and play with. So it is frustrating, for sure. I'm hoping that, you know, something changes. It's still the second week. I am not about to call curtains on Austin's game, on Brayden's game. It's looking a little rough right now, but let's hope something happens. Let's hope.
I think it's the OLG. I think I called it the ORG, the org room.
that's where Kyle plays his games on in the mountains. That one, that's different.
Yeah, there you go. And so later in the night, Beth is going to have some more activity. We've been hearing reports this morning that people heard some noises.
You did not just. That's too funny. All right.
That apparently that no more paper. It's no more hands. We heard some smacking. And Tara thinks that there might have been even more. So things are progressing here with Ty and Beth.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and in a way that people caught them, basically, is the thing. So
unsubtly.
Yeah. So this morning there's been a lot of talk, more Tina and Tara, kind of like, abandoning ship. Ty got called on the stuff last night, by Kyle, Ty, Jed, Kyle, and Ro had a conversation about like, hey, bros not coming after bros. And Kyle did the interrogation thing to them as well. And I think probably caught them in some lies. You know, there's a lot going on. Like I said, Tina and Tara talked with Vic. They talked about, you know, that, they were against the guys. Again, I'm not entirely sure what Tara's doing. What Tina's doing, if I were Tina, I think I would be trying to throw Ty and Jed under the bus as much as possible, try and get them on the block as a replacement, and then get one of them out instead of Toya, because that would be very good for her game. But that's going to be very difficult, I think, with Vic, because she really likes them. So she's already kind of starting to get in on the sort of like, oh, well, they're terrible, aren't they? So we'll see. You know, again, she kind of let Tara lead the conversation there. So she may have just been doing whatever Tara was doing to make sure that she's in good with everyone else. But we'll talk more about what happens today. Tomorrow on the update at 11 a.m. Eastern. So make sure you join me then. Puya, anything else that you wanted to bring up?
With regards to the feeds, no. All I will say is to fellow Live Feed Update listeners, this is going to be a fun week. So if you can catch feeds, catch them. Obviously, you'll get all the lowdown here, but it's worth watching them. These are precious feeds that we have not gotten in a minute, and they're very fun. So I endorse it.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that's what we have for you. Again, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. And then Monday night, we will be back to recap Monday night episode of Big Brother Canada 9. And then Tuesday, we'll be back for the roundtable. I hope you made some good purchases in the stock watch. I hope you're not regretting everything. I hope you didn't go in on GameStop at the peak, you know?
Are you projecting, or are you just, you know, talking to other people genuinely? Or did you make a mistake?
I'm talking to people. I'm talking to people. Okay. Okay. Melissa already said she made a mistake. We're going to have to wait and see what that was. That's what we have for you. I'll be on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. I'll be live on Twitch tonight to watch some feeds with you guys and hang out. We like to play Among Us over the weekend. Puya, we'll be playing Sunday, with some mods, I think, to spice things up. So that'll be fun. We had a great game with the real Kyle Moore and Melissa last week. So make sure you guys check that out. I'm at twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. Puya is twitch.tv/Puyaism. And he's also on Twitter, Puyaism. What else you got going on, Puya?
Well, Taren, if people like us talking about this on Fridays, we'll be talking real soon about Celebrity Circle.
Yes.
That's coming around.
It's been good, man. I've really been enjoying it.
Same. Listen, the UK circle, no other circle can hold a candle to the original. There is just way better. I'm so excited to talk about it. I have some thoughts about some catfishing going on here. So we'll be talking about that real soon, which I'm very, very excited about.
Yeah. So that'll be very fun. Make sure you check out, if you haven't, we're like three episodes into the Celebrity Circle. Another one's going to be airing today. But it's very fun. They air, daily. They skip Saturdays, but, super, super fun to watch. Very quick, very bingeable as well. So definitely worth checking out, and we're going to be talking about that. If you're already watching Canadian Big Brother, then similar methods can help you out with the UK circle. But that's what we have for you. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We'll see you next time.